Well, Hirsch, like so many of the Mepharshim, focuses a lot on the symbolism of the Big Day Kahuna. Rav Hirsch puts tremendous, tremendous emphasis on the symbolism of the garments that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot wore. And he begins with, he actually has a whole, this is basically, we're going to basically learn one 10-page essay. We're not going to do all 10 pages of it, but one 10-page essay that Rav Hirsch has about the tremendous significance of the Big Day Kahuna, which we could probably also learn a very important lesson about what clothing mean to a Jew as well. He picks it up, really the most important pasuk or psukim that you need to see is on page 248. The Torah says as follows. Pasuk Mem Gimel, the very last pasuk of the whole parak that discusses the Big Day Kahuna. The pasuk says, "You al Aaron v'al banav b'vo'am elo moed." The garments shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come to the Mishkan, when they come to the Beis Hamikdash. You have to wear these garments. O b'gishtam al mizbeach l'shareis makodesh. Not only when they just show up and hang out there, but any avoda that they do. V'lo yisu avon v'mesu. If they show up without the clothes, that's it. If you show up without the clothes, you're dead. So they have to be on you when you're in the Beis Hamikdash, when you're doing the service. Chukas olam lo ulzaro acharav. This is a law forever. Comments of Hirsch in the very first piece. He says, it's enough just to look at this one pasuk, or these couple of pasukim, a few pasukim before as well. To explain to us and to clarify for us how important are the garments. And what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to read a lot and then pause to give a little explanation. Kohen below Big Day Kahuna, kamo kizar legabi amigdash. A Kohen who's not wearing his Big Day Kahuna is like a non-Kohen. He literally is devoid of any sanctity and has no business being in the Beis Hamikdash. Va'alav amor hazar karav yumas. Big Day Kahuna tzirich lios mishel tzibor. We know that the halach is that the Big Day Kahuna had to be donated from the community. Only when he's wearing the garments donated by all of the Jewish people can he appropriately be a representative of the people in the Mikdash. Without the garments, he's a regular individual. It's his own subjective actions, and that's against everything that he's supposed to stand for. Fascinating. Says of Hirsch, when the Kohen or the Kohen Gadol would not wear the Big Day Kahuna, so his own unique individual blemishes that exist with every Jew, even the holiest of Jews, like what made the Kohen fundamentally any different than anybody else? Nothing. A Kohen was a regular, he may have been a tzaddik, he may have been a righteous person, but even the tzaddikim, even the righteous people do things wrong, and they have blemishes. The garments, the Big Day Kahuna, somehow, wearing these garments of glory, somehow invested him with a certain status and stature that made him fundamentally on a different level. The garments somehow elevated him and raised him and made him a public servant in a way that his own individual blemishes would not show so clearly. We have to do more explanation of this. How does that work? You just put on garments and all of a sudden magically you're somebody else? It doesn't work like that. We know many of people who look one way on the outside, but just undress them, and you'll see the same horrible person on the inside. So how do these garments do that? That's going to be an important issue. But Rav Hirsch clearly says, somehow, putting on this clothing invested the Kohen Gadol with a certain mission and a certain purpose. The clothing invested with a mission that would bring out in him a different persona, a different level of character. HaKohen HaLavush Bigdei Kunaso Eino Mofia Kamos Shehu. A Kohen who is wearing his begadim does not appear just as the individual. Ela Kamos Shehu Tzarich Lios Lefi Mitzvos Toras Hashem. Wow. When the Kohen would wear these garments, he would not appear as who he is. Rather, he would appear as who he wanted to be. And who he was striving to be, who he was symbolizing and emulating for the Jewish people. And that was, he's emulating the ideal Jew, the ideal servant of God. These clothing sort of represented and presented himself to the Jewish people as a role model of wanting to serve on a different level. And again, we have to unpack this. How did it work? Reverse says quite the contrary. By donning these garments, he was making a statement of admission that he was an ordinary Jew like anybody else, filled with problems and challenges and lackings. But the garment said, listen, I know I'm lacking, but this is what I'm striving to be. It's almost like by, or first says he flips it around. By putting on the garments, he said, listen, I know that I myself am not it, but a servant of God, a representative of the Jewish people who's going to serve God, that's what I want to be. That's what the Big Day Kahuna symbolized. Let's continue. Habagadim may be, may fold, they beat you as Tchuna sa Kahuna. Understanding this connection between the garment and who he wanted to be requires an understanding of what Judaism, the emphasis that Judaism in general places on garments. Beged lo kisui greida ela halbashas adam bilavush hamash velo hofa'a sheholemet oto. Lefikach beged mitzayin gam achnasas adam lemisra, to a job. A uniform. Rav Hirsch says, if you want to know what role a garment plays in Judaism and for Jews, you got to go back to the very, very first garment that shows up in the Torah, in Gan Eden, after Adam and Chava sin. So what does the Torah say right after they sin? God made for them garments. Says of Hirsch, what's the symbolism of that garment? Says of Hirsch, La'olam, Yazkir ha-beged la'adam es t'udasoha enoshit ha-musarit. The garment is supposed to remind the person of his moral and spiritual goals and his failings. Va'aviya enoshut, the father of mankind, higisho so libino. The father of mankind gave his son a garment. Shah Shigirsho Megan Eden El Beis HaChinuch Shel HaAmal VaHaMachzor. At the time that he chased his son, his prized first son, away from Gan Eden, at the time that the father of mankind chased his son, Ben Adam, Adam Arishon, away from Gan Eden, into a world of chinuch, of hard work and lacking. Uvishasha sakanas hatiya, the danger of straying, habahamit, arva lenafsho, at the time when the physical animalistic taiva overcame Adam and Chava, God's response was, put on some clothing. That was the response to the first sin. Put on some clothing. Says Rav Hirsch, you see from that story that clothing that a person wears, and especially these clothing that the Kohanim had to put on in the Beis HaMikdash, were there to remind the person of his goal, of his tznius, of his moral responsibility, and of his spiritual responsibility to live up to a certain level. That's what clothing are supposed to be for every Jew, and specifically that is what these clothing in the Beis HaMikdash were supposed to remind the Kohan, the Kohen Hedjot, and the Kohen Gadol of. Let's continue. He's going to continue to unpack this idea, layer after layer, in what I felt was an incredibly beautiful fashion. Lefikach, therefore, says Rav Hirsch, Nasim beged levush ota lebituyim b'shvil hismaz guso shel adam im tchuna mesuyemet osim en heker mesuyam ad she tchuna zu osim en heker zeh hofech lelevusho haruchani kviyachol legabe ayin zulah so I'm responding bo. I only brought for you here about 5 or 6 examples. Rav Hirsch proceeds to bring 20 examples from Tanakh where the word garment is used in reference to a person's spiritual goals and spiritual desires. And I try to pick the ones that will be most familiar to you. Af al Hashem ne'emar kach. Even about God, the Navi uses the word God wrapped himself in a garment. Now, that's absurd for God to wrap himself in a garment. God has no body. How's he going to wrap himself in a garment? Says Rav Hirsch, you see from the fact that the Navi refers to God wrapping himself in a garment, so you see that wrapping yourself in a garment means something much more than just putting on a sweater, than just putting on a shirt and pants, than just getting into your underwear. That's not what it means. He says, look what he says. Hashem Malach, famous pasuk we say every Friday night, right, and every Shabbos morning. Hashem Malach, Geus Lavesh. God is a king. He's enthroned in his king. He wears himself with geus. He dresses himself in. I mean, geus can mean arrogance. In God, it doesn't mean arrogance. It means splendor. It means royalty. Geus. Lovesh Hashem owes his hazar. God dresses himself. Lovesh. He dresses himself in strength and might. Hod v'hadar lavashta. Right? Baruch inavshi es Hashem. Hashem Elokai Gadal Tamaod, Hod Vahadar Lavashta. God, you have dressed yourself in Hod Vahadar, in glory and splendor. Why dressed? What does it mean dressed? It says of Hirsch, so dressing is symbolic not just of putting on a piece of clothing, but it means you're getting into it. You're dressing yourself with a certain midah means you're acquiring it, you're placing it on yourself, you're growing through identifying with this midah that the dress is supposed to symbolize. Ote'or kasalma, he dressed light like a dress. Vayalbesh staka, he dressed himself with righteousness. Ksherin v'kova Yeshua barosho. Vayalbesh big day nakam til boshes vayar kamil kina uv miyuchad nemar adam rabbanei adam ki hil bishani big day yesha mi'il tztaka ya'ateni, a coat of righteousness he has cloaked me in. Tzedek lavashe v'yabashini, if you look inside of Hirsch, he has like 30 other examples. Liv she'uzek tzion oz v'hadar levusha, oz v'hadar levusha v'atishak liyom acharon. That's by the Eish Hischayel, it says, Oz v'hadar levusha, glory and splendor are her garments. Why garments? What do you mean glory and splendor are her garments? So you see again, garments is a reference to wrapping yourself in something higher, wrapping yourself in something greater than yourself, wrapping yourself in something that tries to get you to think higher, to think differently. And Kohanecha yil b'shut tzedek. Right? Kohanecha, your Kohanim, we say on Simchas Torah night, your Kohanim dress themselves in righteousness. So dress is the metaphor that the Navi uses to talk about growing in righteousness. And he continues, La'or kol mimatzei alashon ha'elu rasham ha'elu l'aniach ki gam bigdei ha'kuhuna ha'machshir mesavodas ha'koin tzrichim levatei ha'satchuna sha'koin b'tor shekazeh chayev l'samel. Says of Hirsch, these bigdei kuhuna that the Kohen would don prior to entering the Beis HaMikdash, prior to entering in the service of God, were supposed to embody and signify and symbolize for him exactly the same thing. You are now embarking on a holy mission. You got to step up. You got to step up. The bigdei kahuna were there to tell the Kohen, you're now a representative of the Jewish people about serving God. You got to have a different mindset than you might have while you're eating dinner at home. You got to have a different mindset than you might have while you're playing baseball or while you're just chilling out and hanging out, watching TV. This is different now. You're a different person. Gam min halacha, shelo yehi davar chotzeitz beino lebesaro. There's a halacha that the Kohen could not wear anything. There could be nothing separating between him and his big day kahuna. That's a halacha. There could be nothing. You couldn't wear like an undershirt or something, or you know, a necklace, or I don't know, whatever you might want to wear underneath. You couldn't wear anything underneath. Why? Listen to what Hirsch beautifully says. Yotzei shem enam rak tachshit chitzoni. They're not just an external garment, an external adornment. V'sheyesh lahem mashma'ut she'aleha tzarich latet et da'ato lo rak adam ha'mesponim el ha'kohen atzmo. Heim tzrichim l'chasos alo chatzitz chalik ha'guf shalem heim yuadim ha've omer ha'kohen chayev lehismazegi ma'hem legomro. What's the idea? There can't be any chatzitza. The idea is that the Kohen has to become one with his garments. He has to become one with his garments.
But there were all sorts of pedams that were not allowed him to do the avoda. It's not like it could transform anybody.
You mean like if he had a mum?
Yeah.
Well, I would argue, Joel, that it's the same idea. Because, right? I'm sure, especially in the last 50 years of all the accomplishments that our society has made with people with disabilities, and how the respect that we and the understanding and the sensitivity, which 100 years ago certainly did not exist, the type of sensitivities that we have, right? So I'm sure that when we get to the parashas that discuss how somebody who's a bal mum can't be a servant of the Beis HaMikdash, this flies in the face a little bit about our sensitivity and respect for people who have disabilities, especially a person who's born with a malformity somewhere. So because of that, you can't serve in Beis HaMikdash. So I would argue, Joel, that it's not that we have anything against the person. It's that we have something against what the completeness and wholeness that represents. Not that the person himself is any lacking chas v'shalom. What did he do? He was born without a leg. He was born with six fingers instead of five. Chas v'shalom, we have nothing against that person. But serving in the Beis HaMikdash represented something else. And apparently there was a challenge in that person's ability to represent a certain level of completeness and pureness and holiness. Again, I haven't done much to fix the issue. But the point is that the big day kahuna were somehow able to help transform the person into his role. Look, I speak about it all the time. Well, what?
But not from his physical.
Right. Correct. But, you know, I speak about this all the time, about, you know, how important it is for people to look at the way they dress and to dress in a certain way. We all know that when you walk into the office dressed, well, again, I know, again, in the last, I lament this all the time, in the last 20, 30 years in the United States, there's this whole dress down at work movement, the whole. So I get it, and I'm sure people who have to work, you know, who like to chill out more, you know, they like to not have to dress up all the time, think that the dress down, it's a great thing. I'm not coming to judge that aspect of it. I get it, how people like to be more relaxed, but I think that our society has lost something in that. We've lost something. There's a certain respect, because when you dress in a certain way, it conveys a certain respect, and there's a certain self-respect that a person has when they dress it. And I think that Rav Hirsch, he doesn't actually come out and say this anywhere that I saw it, but I think it's right underneath the lines of an important lesson for us. It's nice that we're studying about the Big Day Kahuna, but the way a person dresses should reflect his desire to elevate himself to the next level. It should reflect a certain sneas, a certain humility, a certain awe and fear of the master of the universe in whose presence he walks around all the time. And I think that a person makes a big statement. And not only does it make a big statement to other people Rav Hirsch keeps talking about, but also to himself, much more importantly, to himself. Right? I always tell the kids, if you'd be sitting in front of my shir in shorts and a tank top, you're not going to be in the same matzav ruach to learn as if you're sitting in a button-down shirt and not jeans, but you know, regular. It just makes a difference to the person. It's hard to explain, but Rav Hirsch is trying to unpack here why that is so. There's a certain feeling that you have when you step into a certain type of clothing. When the Kohen Gadol stepped into those special garments that Urim Vetumim, we'll talk in a minute, if we have time. He talks about when the Kohen Gadol or the regular Kohanim would step into those garments, it would make a statement to them of, I am representing the Jewish people. I have to now behave. I remember, I'll give you an example. So when I was in college, I didn't wear a hat when I was in college. I grew up in the modern Orthodox world. We don't put, you know, so much emphasis on that stuff. When I went to Israel for the year, I felt, when I was in high school, I didn't wear a jacket when I davened. When I went to Israel, so I took upon myself as a sign of seriousness during davening. You're standing before God. The Rambam writes that in davening, a person is supposed to dress in a certain way because he's standing in front of God. You're not supposed to dress in davening the same way you dress. So I took upon myself when I went to Israel for the year that I would wear a jacket during davening. A blazer. I would wear a blazer just during davening as a respect for the master of the universe whose presence I was in. When I got married, so I was having discussions with my Rebbe. So I got married. So I got married around the same time that I got smicha. So I asked my Rebbe, I discussed with my Rebbe, Rav Mordechai Willig at the time, should I wear a hat? Should I put on a hat now that I'm married and a rabbi? So Rabbi Willig felt that you're a rabbi now, you got smicha, you should wear a hat. Rabbi Willig felt that way. He felt, and like, what magically changes by putting on your hat being a rabbi? So he said to me that, and I remember feeling this way, that as soon as I became a Rebbe, so let's say some of the other things that used to go on, that I used to do, some of the certain liberties they used to take, maybe with certain liberties of speech and certain liberties of, you know, once you're now becoming a person who's a role model for others religiously, you have to now step it up a little bit in your game. You have to step it up a little bit. You maybe can't take the same liberties that somebody else necessarily took because people are watching your every move and people are learning from you and people are viewing you as a spiritual role model. You have to be a little bit more careful and you have to realize that. And the way it works with being a spiritual role model is, and by the way, this applies to every parent to a certain degree, every parent it applies to, and it applies to every person. You know, when you go into your work area and you're interacting with people, so people are looking at you, and you know the way it is, at least I found with my kids. With my kids, every tiny thing, I'm sure I said this over the last 12 years about 100 times, but...
Not just your kids, all your students.
All my students, for sure. Every little thing that I would do a little bit, every liberty that I would take a little bit, my kids would run with it times 1,000. Now, my kids would take every little liberty that I would do. If I would use a certain word, I'm not talking about a very, very bad word. Chas v'shalom, I think over the last bunch of years, I was able to eradicate from my vocabulary the real bad words. But even, let's say, I would talk about something in a little bit of a loose way or describe something. So like I would notice that my kids would, you know, they would run with it. You know, every little opening that they would give, they would, you know, they would run with it. So there is an idea of a person stepping up to a different level. And again, as I always say in this shiur all the time, throughout our lives, we're supposed to always be stepping it up to the next level. And we have to realize every little bit that we take upon ourselves has tremendous impacts on our families, on our children, on our co-workers, on the other people that we daven with in shul, on our chevra. Every little bit that we take upon ourselves has an effect. So the idea that Rav Hirsch is talking here about, so I remember Rabbi Willick said, put on the hat. Whoa, it doesn't mean, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. But it meant something to me. To me, it was a reminder that I was supposed to be, now you're a rabbi. That's what he was trying to tell me. You're now a rabbi, and the hat, again, I wear the hat only during davening, again, as a respect for Hashem, but the fact that I'm wearing that hat during davening reminds me during davening that I'm supposed to be at a different level. I'm supposed to be at a different level at that moment. And he thought it was important for me as a rabbi. He wasn't saying it. He was saying it to remind yourself, not to show everybody else. To remind yourself that you have to be at a different level. And that's what the clothing that a person puts on, again, the physical clothing that a person puts on, but I'm trying to extrapolate away from that. Clothing can just be a metaphor of when you get dressed in the morning, realize that you're an Eved Hashem, that you're a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that you're supposed to step it up. Again, the Kohen on his level, the rabbi on his level, but every parent and every Jew on their level when you don the clothing. When you don your own clothing in the morning, realize that your clothing is supposed to remind you of who you are. That's why we have tzitzis. That's why we have tzitzis in the morning. I'll tell you an unbelievable story. Just happened yesterday in yeshiva. There's a Rebbe in yeshiva who was hacking the kids and basically said to them that the way the kid took it is that he said 30% of your grade on a certain test will be if you're wearing tzitzis. And this kid got very upset. I'm not wearing tzitzis. And how can you grade me on the fact that I'm not wearing tzitzis? And I refuse to wear tzitzis. And I'm so against religious coercion. So Rabbi Storch sat with him and tried to explain to him that this is not religious coercion. Again, the Rebbe didn't exactly mean that. He didn't mean it, you know. Rabbi Storch said, you can't really tell the Rebbe, you can't tell the kid you're going to grade him 30% of your Gemara grade on whether you're wearing tzitzis or not. You can't say that. But what you can say to him is that if you're not wearing tzitzis, you're violating the school's dress code, you can't sit and take the test, period. Because tzitzis, not as a matter of religious coercion, but as a dress code, it's part of the school's dress code. Not because of the religious aspect of it. Obviously, it's because of the class participation. Right. The old class participation grade, right? Yeah, I never know why you didn't go. It was class participation. That's why you got 95s on the test, but you got a 50 in the grade because of class participation. Yeah. Now again, this kid has his own bag full of issues. Unfortunately, his mom's not observant, and there's a divorce. This kid has a lot of issues. And again, we're working with him. I don't believe in religious coercion with this kid, but we do have a dress code, and the dress code says you have to wear tzitzis. Now, why is it in the dress code that you have to wear tzitzis? So I'm telling you, gentlemen, and this, why is this kid so vehement? He can't put on. Why is he so vehement? I'm not wearing the tzitzis. You know why? Because he knows if he wears the tzitzis, it's going to affect him. He knows it. And he's not interested. Well, what's the big deal? Just put him on and leave school and take him on. Well, they don't bother you under there. But they bother this kid. You know why they bother him? Because he's right now angry and he's fighting and he's not interested. And he knows that if he wears the tzitzis, it's going to affect him. I'm telling you, that's part of it. That's part of it. I refuse. But what's the big deal? 30 points on your test? 30 points on your test? Still no. Sol hachis, 30 points. It's like I always tell you, Rabbi Riskin likes the joke. He likes the joke that the woman who, upon surviving the Holocaust, every Friday night would make sure to pour a little bit of milk in the chicken soup because she's angry at God over what happened. So Rabbi Riskin likes to say, again, Chas v'Shalom, we never judge, I never judge people, but the woman who dafka every Friday night, spitting in God's face, Rabbi Riskin says, so you see she really believes that there's a God up there. Because if she didn't believe there's a God up there, what's he getting angry about a little milk in the chicken soup? So he likes to say like that. But we just have to help them unpack it in their own minds. You see, you actually feel a connection. Because why are you pouring milk in the chicken soup? There's a God, you know there's a God who's getting angry that there's milk in the chicken soup. So I'm saying this kid, you know, again, we'll hopefully, Bez Hashem, we'll hopefully in a soft way and figure out the right way to, you know, hopefully, but what I'm trying to point out is the clothing that you put on, when you put on the tzitzis in the morning, that has an impact. I'm telling you, I say it to the kids all the time, whatever, I can go on and on about stories about that, about tzitzis, about, there's a lot of kids who you wouldn't believe, I told them, I said, to you, just you got to just wear the tzitzis. Sometimes when I send kids to certain summer programs, I'm very nervous about how they're going to do at these summer programs away from yeshiva. I'm a little nervous about it. So I tell the kid, I guarantee you, and I'm telling you, this worked with a few kids this past summer. Mamish worked. I said, if you make sure to wear tzitzis every day, you're going to be fine. Because there's a certain... It defies logic. It defies logic. But sometimes where a guy, if he's still wearing those tzitzis, it's a reminder that he's still got that connection. It's a reminder of who he is. It's a symbol. And that's what Rav Hirsch is saying about the Big Day Kahuna. But it's not just about Big Day Kahuna. It's about the way a Jew dresses. And the tzitzis, certainly for the men, certainly give over that impact. Just look at the bold on page 2. Well, every word here, you're going to have to promise me you're going to do all the rest of this for homework over Shabbos. The bottom line of page 1. Habagodah makshirinus akorin labad avodas hakodesh ha'umahu amik shimbo. L'fikach mivatim big day ha'kahuna es hatchunos. The big day kahuna express the characteristics Shemimusha nidrash ayde migdash Torah Hashem b'todaat ha'uma. V'hem esamlem es ha'kedusha. The big day kahuna. And by the way, our garments, our tzitzis do the same thing. By the way, you know the big day kahuna, the me'il was made out of tchelas. Same idea. Shemakadish, I'm telling you, I wish I had an hour and a half for this year, really. Shemikdash mashra ala adam yisrael mitzapashi yisalayla. These garments represent the sanctity that the Beis HaMikdash would cause to dwell on a person of the Jewish people and looks forward that he will rise to. Big Day Kahuna Nechlakin LeBig Day Kohen Gadol LeBig Day Kohen Hedyot. V'Kohen HaGadol Hu HaMishar Yisai Yikar B'Kohen HaGadol Hu HaMishar Yisai Yikar Hom Nu Mitzido Kufim Lo Ka'ozra. Big Day Kohen Gadol Kolom Is Abba B'Kohen Kohen Hedyot V'Abba B'Kohen Hav Yuchad Lo Mitzvas V'Malea. They added on. Mikan says of her so beautifully. There's a Kohen Gadol and there was a Kohen Hedyot. The Kohen Hedyot was to help the Kohen Gadol reach his level. The Big Day Kohen Hedyot were there to help the Kohen Gadol reach. The Big Day Kohen Gadol represented the ideal that the Jew was supposed to strive for. And the Big Day Kohen Hedyot were there to help the Kohen Gadol achieve that level. Mikan, bolded, second top of second page. She'aleinu lahavin is Big Day Kohen Gadol kisemel shel achazon Yisraeli. The garments of the Kohen Gadol were there to represent the ideal of the ideal Jewish vision. This Big Day Kohen Hedyot, he's going to go through each of the garments. We're not going to have the time, unfortunately, to do it. But he goes through each of the garments and shows how each of the garments represents the goals of being a Jew. That's the garments of the Kohen Gadol. And the garments of the Kohen Hedyot represented how you get there. What do you need to do to get there? I know I'm like tantalizing you. I feel bad. So the Michnasayim, the pants, take a look at page 248. You could just say, see on Pasuk Mem Beis, page 248. The breaches cover over the erva. The Michnasayim represents, says Rav Hirsch, man's responsibility to control his urges and desires. They're made out of bad, which Rav Hirsch says they were white, made out of bad. Yes, white linen, symbolizing purity. Third line. Misyaches musag ha-tahara bimuchad l'kiddush chaye ha-hanoa v'amin. Sanctifying pleasures. V'ofyani ha-davar shetavka l'gabe ha-beged hazeh. Also it mentions bad, which is its, the plant. It mentions just the pure plant. And he speaks about how this is representative of, look at the last line. Hein mibichina l'shonit, from a philological, etymological perspective, hein mibchina inyanit, misamel Hashem bad, es kol ha-madregos ha-mavis de tahara. All the madregos that bring words in tahara. You know, the Maseilas Yesharim was founded on this brisa. Zehirus, zrizus, nikius, precious. That's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Chaf and Vez, that the Maseilas Yesharim was based on, the great Musar work. Mikan gam shebigde ha-sheish, Sheish is
the same as bad.
Linen, I think linen, Herbie. Just bad is the plant name, and sheish is the colloquial name for linen. I'm pretty sure. And he goes through each one. The avnet, that's the sash. That represents a person's preparation, gathering together all of his energies and efforts and strengths to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the preparation that you need before you serve God. Take a look at the bolded area. Semel HaMe'il, that's the Av, I'm sorry, the Avne, yeah. Uviyos kol achutim kluim sheish kfula mutzak chazon kohanim zeh, lo kechazon shem eva luchushim lekokos adam. Why was it a six-folded string, six strings in one string? Because six is this world. Showing a person that all of your efforts and energies to serve God, it's all within your ability. You don't need anything supernatural. You don't need seven. Seven is supernatural. Six is this world. The world was created in 6 days. Six is this worldly. Representing that all of your abilities and energies, it's all given to you. You have the ability to yourself to be the best Jew you can. You don't need anything that's not in you. The me'il was all blue. Look at the bolded area in the next paragraph. Semel ha-me'il malas kol b'chinoseh shal nefesh adem al madrig achas matbi al kulon lo yotz min akal ha-b'china ha-vegetativit, vegetative. Rav Hirsch refers to vegetative as the pleasureful, the sexual drive and the hana for food. You know, I know I've said this over the years many times, but many of you probably know that that over the last 10 years now, I've taken upon myself certain restrictions when it comes to food, eating, certain restrictions when it comes to food. I almost never eat one of my favorite foods, ice cream. Almost never eat ice cream. I don't eat cake. I don't eat, you know, except in very, very rare occasions. But I've taken upon myself, now most of it is health related. Most of it is health related. But some of it is what Rav Hirsch is speaking to over here. That you know, you go to a chasana and you start out with the shmorg, then you go to the appetizer, then the main, then what used to be called the Viennese table. Then on the way out, you got to get something else. It's not really that type of lifestyle choice. It's not really, as Rav Hirsch is speaking about over here, about controlling the desires and being a master over your... It's not really driving a person towards the appropriate moderation that your attitude towards the physical pleasures of this world is supposed to be. And I think we live in a culture and a society that celebrates a lot of that a little bit too much. And a person is supposed to learn how to control those urges and how to moderate them and how to, and I find, like the Rambam says, that you know, if you want to correct a midah, you have to go all the way to the other end of it. So I go all the way to the other end of it. You know, when I go to a wedding, I usually do is I'll take a little bit from the shmorg and eat the appetizer, and that's it. I'm done. No desserts, no, not the main. No, you don't need it. I mean, you really don't need it. I know, because it's not because I'm such a... I know because I really don't. And it's like anything in life. You train yourself a certain way, and the training becomes the rigor. Anyway, there's so much more here. He goes into each of the begadim. You know, I have to leave the whole thing hanging on the table. But at the end of the day, Rav Hirsch uses the Big Day Kahuna to teach us about how the clothing that a person puts on in the morning is supposed to be a message to him to step it up in that day. The tzitzis that you wear. But even the regular clothing that you wear. We're not supposed to walk out in a tank top and shorts. We're supposed to dress in a way that reflects our understanding of our mission in life. And a lot of times, the clothing that a person wears helps remind others and helps remind him of his mission in life. And the way and the Kohen, the Kohanim, and the Kohen Gadol in Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be representatives of the people of how to live a morally and spiritually elevated life on a different level. That's the whole idea of service in Beis HaMikdash. Rav Hirsch, even at the end, you got to see this piece at the end where he talks about how even the Big Day Kahuna were mechaper. They atone for the sins. How does wearing garments atone for sins? So Rav Hirsch says, it's not the garments, not just wearing the garments. It's what that represented. And the message and the lesson that was to the people. Because when you wore those garments, you behave differently. And I hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only gives us the ability to realize that the clothes make the man in a certain way, but also, and not only that, that's why we have special clothing for davening and the tzitzis and all that, but also hopefully if we learn this lesson, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately bring us back to that time when we are going to be able to see the Kohanim as those representatives wearing those Big Day Kahuna, and the regular Kohanim wearing their begadim, when all of Klal Yisrael will be elevated through the coming of Mashiach. May that day come in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, when we'll have the Avoda once again. May that day come in here of Yomeinu Amen.